Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 29th day, Monday of January 2024. And tonight our producer is Capable Ken. Hey, Ken.
How you doing, Pastor?
All right, I'm doing good. And then we have the legend way out there in Missouri, the legendary Parson Joe Larson.
I don't know about legendary, but your highly unpaid professional assistant is ready to go to work.
All righty. There you go. Well, we have a lot to hit tonight, but we got some prayer requests tonight. You have one. What is yours?
Well, I have a very special doctor that's going to be helping me, and her husband, Tim, is going in the 2nd of February for ascending aortic aneurysm, kind of dangerous, and she's very concerned, and she's put off some knee replacements until April to take care of her husband. In the meantime, she's still going to do some laser surgery for me. So I want prayers for both Tim, and I guess I'll just lead that. If the folks would just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, there's a brother and sister in Christ, and you know them both. And you know everything that's wrong. We just know it's a dangerous heart surgery that Tim's going to be going through. And Father, I would ask that you just guide the surgeon's hands, that you be there in the surgical room and just oversee everything, that you strengthen Tim and keep that aneurysm from breaking free and causing horrible damage or death, and just help his wife, Betsy, be calm and just be with the whole family as they go through this trauma, and then later, just be with Betsy as she goes through her surgeries and has her knees replaced. And Lord, I just, they're really good people, and they both spend a lot of time helping others. But we have to always pray, Lord, if it be thy will. So if it's your will, Lord, just bless Tim in every conceivable way and draw him closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, all right. Well, I've got prayer requests, too. Two old folks I know, Pastor Joe Larson, and one old folk and one very lovely lady, Nurse Elaine Connolly. So we need to pray for both of you, because Elaine, too, is going to have to undergo some surgery. So it's a long story with her, Joe. She You know, when I broke my shoulder, she was over at my house all the time there, fussing and fixing me up and always taking care of other people. And now she had, I'm not quite sure exactly what it was, how she injured herself, but one thing turned into another and things deteriorated. And she's been having some very serious problems, so she's in the hospital now, and she's probably going to have some serious surgery. So let's just hold the two of you up. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold Brother Joe up here, Lord. Father God, you know he's no spring chicken, and this surgery, even though it's just laser surgery, it's surgery. And so that you would be with him during this surgery, Lord, and let it be complete. And let him have a complete healing. And we want to hold the nurse Elaine up and ask too, Lord, that you would touch her. And Father God, in every area where she might receive your touch, your healing, and a blessing, Lord, that she would be completely healed, Lord, and that you would use the two of them, and all three of us, in fact, right up until the time you take us home, use us, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we better get to it. Do you remember the title of the message?
Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, then and now.
All righty. Well, I'm going to start out, Joe, with a little commentary. And we know that the author of the King James Bible, now the King James Bible had a lot of writers, but the author himself was none other than the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, triune, potentate God himself. Now his power, Joe, and his knowledge are unlimited. He has said that he would deliver his infallible, perfect truth to his people, and then he gave a very stern warning to those that had vain thoughts about trying to prevent him for delivering his infallible truths intact without error to his people. Today, there are over 300 perversions of the King James Bible. The King James Bible still outsells them all by far, in fact. And there are those that believe, Joe, today, recently another book was written by people that shouldn't be writing such books if they don't really know. You know, these are not Bible scholars by any means, but anyhow. And in this book, they claim that the King James Bible has been rewritten and that there was never a state of Israel. There was never a state of Israel, that the Lord Jesus was not a Jew. A number of other things in there that are just unbelievable, but this is what's being taught out there today. And people that you and I both know, that really should know better, are falling for some of this stuff. And this is what we're going to take. In fact, we're going to take a look at, going back today, with their starting in, well, we're going to take a look at what the Bible says about itself first. Let's go to Psalm 12, Joe, and read me verses 6 through 8.
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted.
Well, Joe, let me ask you, when it says the words are, the Lord, or his words are purified silver times, seven times. Now, seven is the number of purification.
Perfection.
Yeah. But when he says this, in a furnace, that often refers to the persecution of God's people. The persecution of God's people. And, we saw the lesson of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where you know, they ended up. But here, so he's talking about the Word of God, and it's tried seven times. And when you try silver or gold seven times in the fire, it's as pure as it's going to get. And then here, he goes on and he says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them for this generation forever. So he's saying that God's saying he's going to keep his word, that God will preserve that word. Now, there are people out there that don't think that he has the power to do that. They don't think God can do that. Now, here's the creator of the universe, okay, and they don't think that God has the power to do that. Somehow, they think that God would put together this book, the greatest source of wisdom and knowledge in the world, and he would allow the opposition to keep this from his people. Now, people out there, you say, well, why are those people reading the New Age perversions? Well, they know better. It's not that they haven't been taught. We've been talking about this for 50 years, not just me. Many Bible scholars. Peter Ruckman was one, that Wycliffe was one. White was another. Bible scholars over the years that have you know, talked about and taught on the King James Bible. Pastor Musselman, Bruce Musselman, was one that was a real scholar talking about the King James Bible. But so many. So it's not that God didn't provide them with this truth. It's that people chose to go the easier way, okay? They thought that, well, do you remember when the NIV Bible first came out, how they promoted it? They had commercials where guys walk in and showing you how lightweight it was. Then they would have a picture of a guy carrying a great big Bible. And then this other guy with a smile carrying this lightweight Bible. Well, what does the Lord say about those that add to or take from the Word of God?
Not one jot, not one tittle. You weren't to add anything or take anything away from his word.
Absolutely.
And that Bible was, like you said, a lightweight. They took a lot out of it, and some of it was terribly important, the things that they took out.
Absolutely. And so they became perverse.
The purpose, water it down, weaken the faith, right? Everything that's done is to take away from the King James, change it, get rid of the truth. One thing I noticed, you and I taught a lot about Christophany. And if you look at these other perversions of the Bible, you can't find many of the Christophanies because they've been taken out.
Absolutely. Here, verse 8, Joe says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Today, they find the vilest men and they give them the Nobel Peace Prize. They gave Fauci. This guy, Fauci, this guy is a horrible. This man did horrible, horrible. He's responsible for the deaths of so many people. He should be tried for crimes against humanity. Murder.
I mean, he complacent. I mean, he was the one who helped fund the Wuhan lab, cover it up, helped promote all these different experiments.
On little children, which many of them died in. And literally tortured puppies and kittens.
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, I want you to turn over real quick.
That verse, if I could, the wicked
sure.
on every side kind of reminded me of Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all of his servants are wicked. So when the wicked walk on every side, it's because we have wicked rulers, right?
Oh, absolutely. Boy, do we.
That's what God says, and it looks like we look out there and see that it's very true.
Let's turn over very quickly. I'm going to just turn over. I'll go there to 119th Psalm, verse 89. It says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, that verse... stressing the eternal origin and eternal duration of God's word. And you know what, that verse right here? This word is the exact middle of the 119th Psalm. So it starts the second half of the 119th Psalm. But
what verse was that? I caught the 119th, but I didn't hear the verse.
Verse 89.
Verse 89, okay.
And why don't you turn over to Matthew 24 and read me verse 35?
All right. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
So, do you think God is able to do what he says he'll do?
I am 150% positive of that. He has always done what he said he was going to do. God being, omniscient, all-knowing, he cannot lie. He knows everything, so there's nothing, every time he speaks, it's out of pure knowledge, so there has no need of lies, cannot lie, and whatever he speaks lasts forever, so it's going to, his words cannot change, and they're not going to go anywhere.
All right. I'm going to turn over now to Revelation chapter 3, and before we get into Revelation 3, I want to just hit a little bit on the letters to the seven churches. Here, when in each one of the seven churches, he gives a commendation, Joe, and he gives a rebuke, Joe, and then he gives a command, an action command. And so, for example, in Church of Ephesus, the commendation, Joe, was hard work. The rebuke was that they left their first love, and his plan of action was to remember what they learned and repent. For the Church of Smyrna, here, the commendation was that they had suffered persecution for his sake. The rebuke was none. There was no rebuke. And his command was, don't fear and be faithful. The Church of Pergamos, their commendation was they were true to the faith. Their rebuke was that they had compromised, and their action was to repent. Church of Thyatira, their commendation was to love. They loved faith and service. Their rebuke was immorality, one of immorality. And, of course, their command was to repent. Church of Sardis, where we're going to start tonight in the Church of Sardis, well, they had no commendation. Their rebuke was that they were superficial, and their command was that they had better wake up and repent. The Church of Philadelphia, their commendation was that they were faithful. Their rebuke, there was none. And their command was to hold on to the faith that they have. In the Church of Laodicea, there was no commendation. Their rebuke was that they were lukewarm. And their command was to be earnest and to repent. So let's start now with verse 1. Just go ahead and read verse 1 of chapter 3.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead.
Okay,
but
so
it
here.
Didn't sound good, did it?
No. So here, the seven spirits, Joe, is right here is a name for God. Of course, we could preach a whole message on the seven spirits of God, but virtually it's a name for the Holy Spirit. And here, the stars were, of course, that was the pastors of the churches. When it referred to the angels of the churches, it referred to angelos, or that means the messenger. And often, angels, angelic beings, were referred to as men, like Daniel. Over in Daniel referred to the angels as the men. Remember that angel that appeared to Zacharias and to Mary?
Yeah, that was yes.
Okay, Daniel referred to him as the man. And then here, the men are referred to as angels, okay? So basically, it's because of their messengers. And then here he says, I know thy works, and thou hast a name, and thou livest, and art dead. Now, in other words, he was saying that there were professing Christians there, many professing Christians there, but very few were alive. They were dead. They were not saved. And
so they were an apostate church.
Right, it was a dead church. So here you have, and by the way, that angel we were referring to was Gabriel. And so here he says, you know what? We're going to break away right here and pick it up here tomorrow because we're going to have a caller calling in, and we want to make sure he gets in. It's a long story. So go ahead and take us away.
Read his words. Heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in
are back. And boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about tonight. That we are looking for, we're supposed to have Jake Lang, who is one of the January 6th hostages, and he was with a friend today when I called him there. He's going to call in tonight, give us a report from the inside, and he's scheduled to call any time, so hopefully there won't be a problem tonight, okay? You never can tell what's going to happen, but you know, some good news, Joe, is that two January 6th hostages got out of jail because of the Supreme Court. The prosecution of those people who were accused of rioting at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021, by now is completely and totally political. There's little argument that those who did vandalism should be prosecuted, but there have been people convicted for offenses related to the day who didn't even go into the building, and some weren't even in Washington at the time. One of the key charges presented by leftist persecutors to leftist judges in the district has been obstructing. And now the Supreme Court has begun a review of whether that was appropriate. As a result, two of the hostages from the day that they have been released from jail, according to a report in the Washington Times. The Times confirmed that two of these defendants got out from behind bars because the Supreme Court is reviewing the legitimacy of charging them with obstructing an official proceeding, which is one of the Fed's favorite charges for people who breached the Capitol. The charge, however, has been used irregularly, as Representative Jamal Bowman, a communist who could be argued to have obstructed Congress by inappropriately setting off a fire alarm during a vote, never was charged with the offense. Remember, he did that just to disrupt the vote. That was the purpose.
Yeah, that was actually, yeah, he was one of those. He'd been a principal in school and understood fire alarms and, oh, I didn't know what it was. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So the report explained on January 6th, defendant Joseph Fisher charged persecutors were being overly broad in their interpretation of the law, which cites obstructing an official proceeding. He accuses prosecutors of launching hundreds and hundreds of cases based on their incorrect definition, including against President Donald Trump. The ruling could have a wide-ranging impact on the entire prosecutorial ideology being used in Washington, D.C. Look, these guys right now, in those courts, and the vast majority of those judges, they are so corrupt. Those left-wing judges in D.C., they are so corrupt. They are so, so very corrupt, Joe, that you and I could easily be charged with assassinating Lincoln. I mean, that's how corrupt these people are, okay?
Well, I can top that in a way. There was a poll out, and the poll, this is published, worldnewsdaily.com. Many D.C. jurors would like to see January 6th protesters executed. Yeah, there was a polling reported in the Epoch Times. Nearly half of the potential D.C. jurors would be happy to see those protesters sent to prison for life or even executed. A large percent of them said, yeah, that was an insurrection and they should be executed. So it's not just the liberal judges. It's the liberals in society that have gone way overboard. The people have been convinced that that was a insurrection, and I don't think most of them understand the definition of a real insurrection, taking complete control of the government, the military, the financial system. These people were there in a protest. A few of them broke away, kind of did a small riot.
Okay, I got to break in, Joe, because Jake is with us, and he's only got 15 minutes. Hey, Jake, are you there? Hello, Jake. Are you there, Jake?
Hey, guys, it's Jake Lang.
Yep, it's good to have you there. We were just discussing how Joe Fisher and Alexander Shepard, how they were released because of the Supreme Court talked about how they were, that those charges were illegitimate, how they were not using that so-called regulation that they have, and that there was error where Representative Jamal Bowman purposely set off that fire alarm at the Capitol, but they didn't charge to disrupt Congress, but he was never charged of that, okay? And so, anyhow, but boy, I'm going to tell you, you have got some awful corrupt judges there in D.C. And again, like I was just telling Joe, him and I could be charged with easily convicted of assassinating Lincoln there by that, those courts and those juries in D.C. What do you think?
I mean, of course, you're guilty way before you even enter in the courtroom. Actually, they start setting up your room here in the D.C. jail the second you're charged for January 6th, pretty much. They've got such a stranglehold on the jury pool here. It's actually one of their main weaponization tools. It's why the prosecutors and the judges have this death grip on the Jan Sixers. They refuse to let them change the venue and do their trials back in their home states. You know, many of the Patriots that showed up on January 6th, Pastor, were from Texas and Florida and, you know, great conservative states where they would be immediately exonerated from the charges that the DOJ has levied on them for political reasons. And so because of that, they will never let us, I mean, with God, by the finger of God, they will let us out of Washington, D.C., but not by their own fruition. That's you know, easily said, and we have the polling data to prove it now.
Yeah, why don't you, Joe was just talking about that, how they were saying how, yes, they would like to have all of you guys executed, that they took a poll. But go ahead and tell us about the polling data.
Well, the poll, I mean, God forbid, Pastor, but the polling data actually confirms that, what he just said.
Yeah.
And so me and my legal team, you know, we've been discussing different ways, obviously strategies to win this trial. I've been locked up for 3 years and 15 days without a trial. I've been held in 13 different prisons. 2 years of those 3 years have been solitary confinement, so lots of time. Lots of fellowship time with God, and also lots of time to strategize and prepare how to win this this horrible, horrible miscarriage of justice that they've levied against me. But one of the ways that we came up with is we hired out a very prestigious polling firm, Trite Polling, based out of Washington, D.C. here, and they are, I mean, they have a lot of veracity. I'm a very, you know, pushy person. And many people will say, and I'm trying to push on them to, you know, add certain language to the poll, and they just won't budge. They know exactly what this is for. The judges and the federal prosecutors will be meticulously going over every aspect and methodology of this polling that we conducted. So they made sure it was tip-top shape, very, very strong. And so basically what we did was we polled 422 Washington, D.C. residents that are eligible jurors, within a 5% margin of error, which makes it statistically significant. And the polling data that came back is absolutely jaw-dropping. The Washington, D.C. residents have such an inherent and deep-seated bias against January Sixers and Donald Trump, it actually basically makes it insurmountable. There is 0% chance you can get an impartial jury trial in Washington, D.C. if you are a January Sixer. And so here's the polling data. Let's go through some of these numbers with your audience here. My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I love you guys. Thank you guys for hanging with us for these last 3 years. I just have to say that. So one of the questions we asked them, was January 6th an insurrection? 85.8% of D.C. residents agreed. Our eligible jurors agreed. I mean, that's nearly 90%, Pastor. It's incredible. You can't get 90% of people to agree on anything, let alone, you know, you put 100 in a room, get 90% of them to tell you the sky is blue. You can't. It just won't happen. People are not that agreeable. But for some reason, the brainwashing has worked so well in Washington, D.C., that 90% of our jury pool believes that January 6th was an insurrection. Can you believe that?
Well, I can, because that is hardcore communist country. You're talking about hardcore atheist communists there in D.C.
Yes. So we followed up. I mean, we've got a lot of polling data to go through, and if the people in the audience, they want to go through this polling data themselves, we set up a website for it, guys. It's j6changeofvenue.com. That's the letter J, the number 6. j6changeofvenue.com. And that's because we're doing a change of venue motion, trying to get me and the Jan Sixers out of the death grip of Washington, D.C. So, guys, some of this other polling data. We asked them, was January 6th an act of domestic terrorism? 80.1% of respondents of the D.C. jurors agreed. That is, I mean, we're talking about, domestic terrorism is very serious. We're talking about, you know, people that blow up buildings and, you know, massacre children and, you know, the horrible, horrible domestic terrorism we've seen in this country before. But 80% of people believe January 6th, a peaceful protest on the steps of our own Capitol, was domestic terrorism. And so that is something that, you know, these people have been poisoned by the media. The New York Times.
Jake?
And the Washington Post. Absolutely tainted.
Yeah, Jake, if you took the same poll and you asked those same people, what about, do you think that when they were burning down in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, when they were setting buildings on fire, when they set the police station on fire with the police inside, when they were hitting old men with bricks in the head and killing them in the street, when they were rioting and shooting and beating people, if you asked, like on CNN, they had that CNN reporter, and behind him you could see buildings on fire, you could see people rioting, and he was there saying it was a peaceful protest. You think if you polled those same people and asked them about all of the rioting and the looting and the killing where they shot that former police officer who was just standing outside of a store and shot him and killed him, and those seven cops that were shot there, I believe, where was it? Was it New York? I'm trying to think, or Baltimore. And
all over the country, every major city, Pastor.
Yeah. So if you polled those same people and asked them if you thought that was rioting, then what do you think they would say?
Domestic terrorism.
No, they wouldn't say it at all. They would... Those same people that said that you guys were insurrectionists, there was no charges. In fact, Kamala Harris was actually running an outfit to get Burn, Loot, and Murder and Antifa out of prison, to get them out of jail so that he could get back on the streets and still riot. And so, no, they weren't charged with anything. Only you guys.
Of course. Pastor, we've got... So let's talk about the putting us to death. Want to see the people who are dead. They want to see us dead. These people want to see us dead, and we have polling to prove it now. So we asked them, we followed up the next question in the poll, question 16 on j6changeofvenue.com. We asked them, the penalty for insurrection, treason, or committing an act of domestic terrorism is life imprisonment or death, which would be a fair punishment for anyone who participated in any of the events of January 6th. 48% of Washington, D.C. jurors believe that that is a fair punishment for anybody who participated in any events of January 6th. That's not even people who have been criminally charged. We didn't ask them people that broke windows or people that got into confrontations with the police officers or, you know, XYZ, people that, you know, went into the Senate chambers or whatever. We said anyone who participated in any of the events of January 6th, not even criminally charged people, 48% want to see us in a cage for the rest of our lives or dead, killed, death penalty. That's 50% right down the middle. 50% of my jurors want to see me dead. Is that fair? Well, before I even go into the courtroom, can these people judge me fairly if they want to see me dead before they even know any facts of the matter of my case?
Well, Donald Trump's judges have already, before you had any hearings or trials, they already said he was guilty. You know, all of them. The one that Chutkin there in D.C. and that one in New York. They came out before there was a trial or a hearing or anything, and they proclaimed Trump was guilty. I mean, that used to be judges would be removed for doing something like that, but not amongst the Democrats, not anymore, huh?
Well, I mean, the thing is that these people, the judges and the prosecutors, they know that the jury is so tainted like it is right now. And the fact that they're still allowing the trials, they're still allowing the plea deals to go on right underneath their noses is, I mean, they're breaking the sworn oath of the Constitution. The fact that they're supposed to be there to protect the right of any accused person to have an impartial jury of their peers, they're letting that just fly without any kind of repercussion for them or the prosecutors that are alleging these charges is really heinous. And so let's go through. Let me give you guys a couple more pieces of this data that we acquired, because it's so important, guys, that you guys know about this bias. And, you know, we have to arm ourselves with the truth. Truth is our weapon. Christ Jesus lets us know the sword of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, is our weapon. And let's arm ourselves up, guys. So question 19 of the poll. Is important that those who participate in the events of January 6th are punished to the fullest extent of the law to prevent anything like this from happening again. 86.4% of D.C. jurors believe that to be true. That means, I mean, again, we're talking about that 90% level, nearly, that insurmountable level where you have 10 people and 9 of them think that person's guilty, punished to the fullest extent of the law. We can't go forward like this and watch thousands of people's lives destroyed by the government and not do anything about it. We've got to unite, and we've got to push back harder and harder, guys. Take this data, take this website, my call to action for all of the awesome brothers and sisters that call upon the same Lord and the same God. And the one
you have 1 minute remaining.
I want you to take j6changeofvenue.com. I want you to write and call your representatives and your senators tomorrow and say, have you seen this data? Have you seen this data? Guys, the number to call, actually, I have the number right here. If you want to call your representative in Washington, D.C., you call this number here. It's 201. Oh, wait. I'm losing it here, Pastor. I had it written down earlier, but
it's 202. 202-224-3121. That's the house. 202.
Yes. 234-2121. Call tomorrow. It's a Google search away. Call tomorrow, guys, and say, have you seen j6changeofvenue.com, and what do you plan on doing about it? These Jan 6ers are being railroaded in an unjust, horribly corrupt, politically motivated trials, and they need justice. And thank you, Pastor. God bless you, brother, for having me on. I love you, man. I think I'm going to be back on tomorrow night to talk to
Thank you for using Global Tel.
We're looking forward to having you back, Jacob. And folks out there, listen, sometimes you can actually call this number, even right tonight, while it's in your mind, and leave a message. So sometimes number you can leave a message, they'll allow that. Other times, for some reason, they don't. But anyhow.
Would you give that one more time?
The number is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, and that's the J6changeofvenue.com, January 6th, yeah, J6changeofvenue.com is the website.
And there was one thing on that survey he didn't get to, maybe he will tomorrow night, but one of the things I saw, there was about 80%+ of the people that they talked to said they would serve as a juror if called. And many of those said they wanted to be on the jury to make sure those defendants are found guilty and punished. Now, there is an unbiased jury pool for you. 80% wanted to be on the jury to make sure, quote, defendants are found guilty and punished.
Well, those
Things
are the people.
Are really changing this country, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's banana republic.
Liberty just kind of got, maybe they should topple Lady Liberty instead of some of the statutes they've been knocking over and getting rid of.
Well, if I were the king, it would be those judges, those persecutors, and those jury pools that would be in prison. But before them, that so-called select committee on there, they would be the first ones to go. That whole thing was set up. That, what they did, was a coup. They did a coup to remove, to make sure that Donald Trump didn't run again. And of course, we know about the election fraud. In fact, let's talk about some of that tonight, the election fraud. Some of the stories out there. One, here, eight ways Chris Ray and Bill Barr destroyed free and fair elections. Well, you know, you saw Chris Ray, he went after, they had him yesterday. They really went after him there. Mac Getz really tore Chris every which way but loose. You know, Chris Ray, he let him know what he did. He committed treason and he lied under oath. But anyhow, the article here, this is from Gateway Pundit. Then Attorney General Bill Barr and the FBI Director Chris Ray destroyed elections in the United States of America in 2020. Through their actions and inactions, Bill Barr and Chris Ray were active participants in the massive criminal fraud of the 2020 election. Absolutely, they were. The massive ballot registration fraud by GBI Strategies, a communist Democratic-funded operation in Michigan and every battleground state. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel in August of 2023 confirmed that 8,000 to 10,000 suspected fraudulent ballot registrations were delivered to the Muskegon City, Michigan's city clerk prior to the 2020 election. Joe, I remember watching them as they came up to the Board of Elections. They had put plywood up over the windows. They had thrown all of the Republican out there.
Yep. We saw the plywood. It was like, it was clear up for almost two stories high, wasn't it?
Right, and then a box truck pulled in, and they opened the back, and right there, plain as can be, you see ballots for Joe Biden. These were phony ballots for Joe Biden, brand spanking new ones. They bring it in. Just unbelievable, the corruption. In-your-face corruption. And so here, he goes on to say, the Gateway Pundit and our contacts in Michigan released the original report earlier in the week. The report and investigation was buried for 3 years. But we talked about, our reporting was based on a redacted police report describing how Muskegon City Clerk Meisch encountered a woman dropping off 10,000 completed voter registration applications. Meisch found this unusual since the voting population in Michigan at that time was only around 30,000 individuals, so she immediately reported this to authorities. The Gateway Pundit reported that the registrations included the same handwriting, non-existent address, and incorrect phone numbers. An investigation found that the woman who turned into the fraudulent ballot registrations worked for GBI Strategies, a Democratic Communist-funded group with operations across the United States. GBI Strategy was founded by Dark Money Super PAC, called the Black PAC, who paid them $11,254,919 to register voters for Joe Obama Biden. There you go. You won't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS. And then Joe.
Well, another story out there you're not going to hear from SlayNews.com. Federal bureaucrats censored public concerns over the mail-in ballots, and it was the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. They call it CISA. CISA, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and they found some documents that were forced by America First Legal. These documents, they've gotten a whole bunch of them. There's more still coming because they were court-ordered under a court-managed process, and they're gradually being given out. And this was also recorded in the Epoch Times. And it turns out that this group, CISA, is under the Department of Homeland Security. So here we have this major government agency. They undertook an unprecedented censorship campaign to mislead the American people. They kept telling them that mail-in ballots were safe when they knew they were riskier than in-person voting by a long shot. And it goes on and on. So more and more is coming out. Like you said, we've been, ever since the election, it just seems like story after story after story where more documents, more truth has come out. And then on top of that story, feds are being sued because of an alleged CIA plot to get rid of President Trump. The suspects that were involved in this plot, CIA plot, were holdovers from the, guess what, Obama administration. And they know the name, CIA analyst Eric Cicero Morella and Sean Misko. And this is out of World News Daily. And barely 2 weeks after Donald Trump took office, these two agents and analysts started a process of anonymous whistleblower, you know, that brought up, touched off Trump's impeachment. And they were talking about how to remove the newly elected president from office. So they started planning just weeks after Trump was in office how to get rid of him, and this is going under, the feds are being sued for more information right now, and I'm assuming there's a lot, they're stalling, they're covering up. Gee, I wonder why they don't want to release all the documents. Do you? Can you think of a reason they don't want to make public some of those emails and documents?
Yeah. Those analysts, Eric Sierra Memella and Sean Misko, regarding trying to get rid of then President Trump, they discussed a Real Clear Investigations article here. So, yeah, again, the fact of it is what? It goes right to Obama. They're getting their marching orders directly from Obama. But again, and all of the corruption here today, just think about this. You've got an occupant in the White House. He's an usurper. He's in there, and he's pretending to be the president. You have the legitimate president of the United States out there. And even in third world countries and banana republics, it's not so out in the open as here, Joe Obama going through, trying to, right out, doing everything he can, using a corrupt so-called special prosecutor with Jack Smith, who is not legitimate. He's not legitimate. Congress is supposed to appoint the special prosecutors.
Prosecutors, right. Not, he wasn't even a member of any of the staff. He was on a, had left the country, he was taking an overseas job with the World Court.
So I know.
He wasn't
so
even on staff.
You and I have just as much authority to do what he's doing as he does. And so the entire Democratic Party is completely corrupt. And you look at Merrick Garland is the most corrupt Attorney General ever. And hang tight, we're coming up to a break. We have a lot to talk about on the other side, so don't go away, folks. A whole lot more to come. Be back.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance.
Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.